Let's have a bear meeting here.
Brian Baldinger.
Oh, this is awesome.
NFL analyst for the NFL Network and Fox Sports.
I think for the first time, I feel like they got a real quarterback.
Odyssey NFL Insider.
It's a new beginning. It's a new beginning. This isn't Mitch Trubisky. This isn't Rex Grossman.
Host of Baldy's Breakdown.
The key to the whole play is Jaden Daniels because he launched it, but he also held the ball for 12 and a half seconds, just being able to dance and buy time. And he gets hit, and the ball gets popped up, and Noah Brown catches the Hail Mary. Add that to Jaden Daniels' resume.
Brian Baldinger with Mully and Haw.
Like, this is...
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to Brian Baldinger. He is the Odyssey NFL Insider, the host of the best football show podcast, Insider Calls, brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. And Brian joins us, as all guests do, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm terrific here. I'm good to be with you. Turn the page to week 9 here, kind of looking ahead here. I'm in New York. I got to do something at this game tonight with Houston and the Jets. So anyways, looking ahead here, guys.
Yeah, we're looking forward to kind of changing the narrative with the Bears. Obviously, all anyone in town is talking about is not how the resume of Jaden Daniels has been improved, but how Matt Eberflus was there again. And Tyreek Stevenson had his – we had a text or a caller tell us that a good Bears Halloween costume would be showing up on the big day, ringing the bell, and having a Tyreek Stevenson jersey, and you're pointing somewhere, and your back is to the guy giving you the candy. That's how bad this thing went.
Well, I'm sure you could go as the devil, you know, with that jersey on, number 29 on, and you probably would be, you know, probably get, you know, costume of the night. I mean, you know, he's the GOAT right now, but there was like so many bad things that happened, you know, from the Doug Kramer fumble to how they defended, you know, the last 6 seconds. I mean, 6 seconds, you know, I mean, there were so many Bear fans in that stadium. They were celebrating. They completely drowned out all of the Commander fans at that moment with 6 seconds to go. And to be able to, you know, go 13 yards untouched to McLaurin to set up the Hail Mary and then to execute the Hail Mary, which, you know, it's such a low probability. You know, it's you know, the victory was snatched right from the jaws of defeat right there. So, you know, it was like the ecstasy and the agony within 2 seconds of each other.
And there was agony when the Bears decided to hand the ball off to Doug Kramer on 3rd and goal from the 1. We've talked about that a lot, Baldy, about what Shane Waldron must have been thinking. But please lend your insight. What must have he been thinking?
Well, I mean, it's on the call sheet. You know, Eberflus talked about it. You know, you're down to the 1-yard line. We got to figure out a way to score. You know, they had probably, you know, they probably practiced that, but in practice doesn't, you know, it's not a game. You know, put it in his belly, let him rumble forward for 1 yard. I mean, the fridge did it, obviously, you know, in the Super Bowl. But this isn't the fridge. And this isn't the Super Bowl. And this is DeAndre Swift, who had a great 4th quarter, and this is Caleb, who's a big, strong kid and a good runner. Like, you just quarterback sneak that thing in, you give it to DeAndre Swift, but you don't have to get cute right there. It's to win the game after you struggled for 3.5 quarters to do anything offensively. Just finish the game, and you don't need to get cute right there. There was no need for it.
So now it's on to – you go from, you know, Jaden Daniels throwing for God knows how many yards. And, you know, I mean, if the kid's ribs weren't hurt, he probably would have run for twice as many. But the Bears did a good job of keeping him out of the end zone until the end.
Yeah.
Now they move on to Kyler Murray. And, you know, he's a tough guy to sack. The Bears are still figuring out if Montez Sweat is okay. They've got a ton of injuries on their offensive line. How important does a bounce back become, especially since they're 3-17 in the Matt Eberflus era on the road, including 0-16 on Sunday games, oddly enough.
Well, I mean, it's time to change that stat, you know, if you're a Bear fan, if you're the Bears. The offense was not very good without Braxton Jones in there. Even before Braxton got hurt, they were struggling, you know, against the Commanders' defense. I know Arizona really well. I know Jonathan Gannon, the head coach. Nick Raelis is a 31-year-old defensive coordinator, probably the youngest in the league. This is what I know about Arizona. First of all, they have not given up a sack in three straight games. That's, you know, Paris Johnson has been a really good left tackle. He was a right tackle last year. He played every snap for the Cardinals last year. They are scrappy as hell. They do not have great talent on defense, but they play really hard. They tackle really well. They pull out these pressures and blitzes at key moments against San Francisco on the road and, you know, against Miami on the road that really got to the quarterback and affected a quarterback. They took the ball down the field, down two in the final 2 minutes, and Kyler took him down the field and completed some passes, and they kicked a game-winning field goal with no time left. It was an impressive win. Marvin Harrison Jr. woke up last week. He had a good game. He's only had a couple of them, but they've got two really good targets in Trey McBride, the tight end, and Marvin Harrison. And James Conner's having a great season. He's the heartbeat of the whole team. You can't take this team lightly, and I know there's going to be a ton of Bear fans in that stadium. They're going to take over the stadium. But this is a 4-4 team that has earned all four wins. They have looked ugly against Green Bay like they didn't belong, but they just play the game really hard. They always do. Outside of that game against Green Bay where they look like they were, they didn't belong in this league. But other than that, they play really hard. They're really scrappy. They find ways to make plays, and Tyler's having a good season.
Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes in this football season. Baldy, where is your level of confidence and belief in Caleb Williams after seeing him in person on Sunday?
Well, I talked to Caleb before the game. I don't know if he was nervous. You know, he went to Gonzaga College High School 10 miles away. He had 140 kids from that school that were all sitting there cheering for him. He did not play well. He was all over the map with the ball. He was sailing it. I didn't think he saw the field particularly well. They blitzed him a lot. They didn't handle things well. They lost Tevin Jenkins. They lost Braxton Jones. That didn't help his confidence level. But he did finish strong. You know, he did play a pretty good fourth quarter, and they did put him in a position to win the game. And when he left the field with the 20 seconds left in the game, whatever it was, he had the lead. So, you know, as bad as it was, he still put him, the defense certainly bailed him out. But he did put him in a position to go win that game and put him in a position to really compete for the division right now. And they could be 5-2 and sitting right there with Green Bay and Detroit and Minnesota, the whole thing, and they let it slip away. But he did not, for whatever reason, he didn't see the field well, and he didn't make the throws that we've seen him make the three previous weeks.
This segment with Brian Baldinger is brought to you by TimberTech Decking and Railing. Everything wood should be. Visit TimberTech.com. Baldy, when you think about the challenge of taking on a team like Arizona on the road, they're coming off a victory themselves. They went down to Miami in a comeback game, and they managed to win by a point. What is the particular danger with that team? Is it all Murray? Is it the running back? What is it that is the challenge for the Bears this weekend?
Well, James Conner's having a great season.
Yeah.
I mean, between Conner, he's averaging over 5 yards a carry. Like, he's a gritty, tough guy to tackle. The Bears have been good against, you know, outside of some big runs they've given up. They've been pretty gritty against, the run this year. But they run the ball well. Kyler's a part of that. He's very elusive. If you get quick pressure, just like you did on Jaden Daniels, he's able to elude it and feel it. And he's making good decisions with the football. He's not turning it over right now in any kind of alarming rate. I think he's playing better from the pocket than he's ever played. He used to be in such a hurry to get out where his vision could get better because he's, You know, he's not a big guy. Teams used to try to keep him in the pocket, and he would just escape to try and see the field better. But he's throwing better from the pocket right now. And so they beat the Rams, who are a good team, or the Chargers the week before, and they beat the Chargers coming off a bye week, you know, and you thought you'd see the best of them. And then, you know, to go to Miami with Tua and to win that game, I'm sure they – and then, then a month ago they beat the 49ers. So they've won 3 out of 4. So I'm sure they're feeling pretty confident about who they are right now and believing in what the coach is telling them and how to play this game. And Jonathan Gannon's a good football coach. So, and he comes from the defensive side of the ball, and he hired this guy that coaches linebackers in Philly, Nick Raelis. Like I said, I think he's 31 years old, and they're probably trusting his pressures and blitzes. But they don't have guys that can really win one-on-ones and get to the quarterback. Every good pass rusher they've had has gotten hurt this year. And so, you know, they've got to manufacture their pass rush right now.
Brian, we've heard this week publicly from DJ Moore, Kevin Byard, Cole Kmet, and Jalen Johnson, all separately questioning very publicly the decisions made in-game by the coaching staff, notably Matt Eberflus. How big of a week in that context is this for Matt Eberflus because of all of the attention paid, the decisions that maybe he made in a game that they lost?
Well, it's important. It's important they drown that out with a win. I mean, I could tell you in Philadelphia, Nick Sirianni was going through the same thing with some of his decisions, and they had a horrible defeat to Tampa. They had a bye week. They won 3 in a row, and all those discussions have gone away. This is big because when you're publicly questioned by your own team, unless you win, those things just echo louder and louder, and they don't die and they don't go away. And so the only way to suffocate those questions is by winning. And so that's exactly what's at stake right now, because everybody should question those decisions, not to challenge the Commanders with 6 seconds to go to give McLaurin a 13-yard catch to set up the Hail Mary, to have Tyreek Stevenson doing what he was doing before the Hail Mary, how they executed that play, what they did at the goal line with Doug Kramer. All those things are fair criticisms, all of them. And when the players, and Kevin Byard, who I've known a long time and have a deep amount of respect for, he's not a guy that does that. He's a team guy. He's been a great player. He's been a first-team all-pro safety in this business. Like, his voice carries weight. When he says something, I think that speaks loudly to the fans and to the team.
So you covered the game. I'm just curious, what was the thing that stood out the most? If you had to pick one bad call, and there were thousands of them, obviously handing the ball off to a non-running back in a crucial situation where you're trailing is a big one. Giving up the extra 13 yards, just giving it up with 2 seconds left that set up the Hail Mary was another one. Not calling a timeout or not being aware. And apparently, Eberflus was on the field for the last two plays, and it was the quarterback who kind of coaxed him off the field, had to lead him off the field. Get back. What are you doing? That's another thing. I thought there was a third down play before they actually got the pass interference on Keenan Allen, where they did a sort of little quarterback draw where Williams goes right up the middle of the field and gets buried, gets hit hard. Didn't understand that call. It felt like there were so many moments in that game where you could make a list and you could go to the coaches and say, you know, we're not talking about this one or that one. Well, what the hell was that one?
Yeah, the third down quarterback draw made no sense at all, because they just run a quarterback play the play before.
Yeah.
They got bailed out by the pass interference.
Yeah.
But the Doug Kramer one, like I understand most coordinators or play callers have usually two or three plays from the goal line, from the 1 yard line. You might, from the three, you might have a couple more, but from the goal line where they were, but you might have that play on there. It doesn't mean you have to run it. You know, DeAndre Swift was getting busy and playing well. I know they had some, I just think trying to trick him in that part of the field. I mean, you've got your You drafted the quarterback number one. Put the ball in his hands if you don't want to run it. Let him make the decision. Let him throw to Keenan. You know, you just got a pass interference call. Like, I just thought either put the ball in Swift's hands or put the ball in Caleb's hands was the way to go.
I agree with you totally, Brian. Thanks for the insight. Appreciate this week, and great stuff.
Yeah. All right, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
Breaking news on the score. Breaking news on the score. Breaking news on the score is presented by BetQL Smarter Bets. Start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or wish or visit BetQL.com. It's official. The White Sox have released a statement. They have tweeted it out. Will Venable is the next.
Who? What?
Will Venable is the next coach, manager of the Chicago White Sox.
You have got to be joking.
No, there's a Zoom later today. They will meet the media in person on November 8th. It is official. 42-year-old Will Venable joins Chris Getz, and they will partner as they bring the White Sox from the depth of the worst season in baseball history to back to respectability and eventually, ideally, the playoffs.
Who is on the Zoom? Is it just Will Venable?
I don't know.
Are we going to hear from
I don't know why that made
Chris
me laugh.
Getz?
I don't know.
Could the owner be involved?
Help.
I'm dead serious.
Well, I mean, Getz, I think 100%. If Getz wasn't
Getz
on it,
Getz and Venable have to be on the Zoom, right?
Well, what about Jerry?
No.
Okay, I'm just asking.
This has got to be it. They didn't ask for my advice.
But you want them to appear as if it was Chris Getz hiring his buddy.
It's got to be Chris Getz hiring Will Venable today.
Okay.
When they meet in person on November 8th, great opportunity. And it is an opportunity for Jerry Reinsdorf to appear, to explain, to deal with where the White Sox are headed. And I don't mean that geographically. Where the White Sox are headed.
What time is the Zoom? Do you know?
It's 11 o'clock.
Okay. Darn it. I'm not going to be able to sit in on that one.
It's 11 o'clock. You can always go back and rewatch it.
I wanted to be live.
You wanted to ask a question? What would be your first question for Will Venable? Or would you have a question before you get to Venable for Chris Getz?
No, I would really like to see Will Venable and watch him speak before I formed my question. I would like to respond. I am more than willing hear what they have to say.
That's good insight.
And then I will listen to that, and I will, I'm sure, the first sentence I'll be like, what? Wait a minute. No, I'm just kidding.
I want to hear how comfortable he is in the role very curious because I don't know anything about him, really.
I want to know what his message is. What is his message?
I know a lot about him, I guess. I don't know the kind of person he is. I don't know him. Yeah. We know Chris Getz. Yeah. We know he's going to be energy and
I've read about
enthusiasm.
Him. I know his story. I want to hear what he has to say, and I want to judge what he says to me. I mean, obviously, my question to you when you told me they had hired him or when we discussed that morning was, what does success look like in your first year? I'd be very curious to know how he views the wins and losses and the 100 losses versus – being able to win a certain amount of games. I'm just
probably
and he hasn't seen the driven, team and
more
he
than record
been,
driven. Don't you think that will be the way they describe success?
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Vision.
Yeah.
A plan, strategy, commitment.
I mean, I don't even know if he knows what he's getting into. And I just mean the talent level of the roster.
Well, I think I wonder how you feel. Do you think that his time with the Cubs in Chicago exposed him to the to what this market is like in terms of expectations from the Sox fan base?
Well,
he's getting himself into.
If he's coming in thinking it's going to be like a Cubs job.
No, I don't think that.
That's what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. I wonder if he paid attention enough to know how different the two franchises are.
Yeah.
How different the two fan bases are.
No beer snake on the south side.
And how different the expectations are.
There's no one to stack the cup.
Let's face it, Molly. This is an immense challenge.
I agree.
It's a great opportunity, but how much pressure is he really under?
Oh, I mean, I don't believe that he's under any pressure.
I agree with that.
He's going to lose 100 games. I think he'll be improved
by 21.
And that's if he does that, he's manager of the year.
He's going to lose 100 games, and the arrow will be pointing up.
He'll be the first 100-loss manager to win manager of the year.
He'll get your vote. He'll get yours and Bruce's. Love Bruce.
Anyway, I know.
Bruce will be on the Zoom.
Yeah, of course he will.
Bruce will be on the
Zoom. But he won't be presenting.
You asked me who's going to be on the Zoom.
No, I asked who would be talking.
Oh, Bruce will be talking
Bruce
a lot.
Bruce will be asking questions.
Bruce has got a lot of questions.
I want to know who they're presenting. That's all. You have all the information there. You're hiding it from me.
I'm not.
You could be sharing.
I'm not.
All right. We've got we got to get to this. There's a lot to talk about.
Yes,
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween.
Boo to you.
Why?
Boo.
Why are you booing me?
I'm scaring you.
I'm not scared.
Yeah,
you can boo me if you want.
You didn't see that boo coming.
I did not see that boo coming.
Nope.
No.
Shocking.
Shocking. White Sox make it official. Chris Getz will introduce Will Venable as the next manager.
Excellent.
Later today. Do you think that this is going to be a rebuild that includes playing prospects before they're ready? And I want to link this to what we talked about yesterday. We all know Colson Montgomery had a very strong Arizona Fall League after a very disappointing season at AAA. Do you get the sense that what we'll hear today is two guys in lockstep about playing guys like Colson Montgomery or giving them the opportunity to win jobs at spring training?
I think that when you have a team that set a record for the most losses ever, I think it's open season on jobs. I think that everybody in the organization that goes to spring training has an opportunity to win a job, and your number one prospect would be included in that list. I don't know that he's going to be handed a job. I would hope he would have to earn a job, but I also hope that Colson Montgomery is given the opportunity to win a job, and I think that he's been around long enough, he's getting old enough, that he's ready to move on to the major leagues. But that is more of a wish and a hope than it is an actual statement of fact.
You're very familiar with the Sox organization. You know that they have essentially, I feel like, tell me if this is the wrong word, stockpiled third base prospects. You've got Ramos, you've got Vargas, you've got another in Iowa.
Vargas didn't seem like a third base prospect.
Well,
he didn't seem very good.
He didn't seem very good, but they traded for him, so you have to give him a chance. And I wonder, with Colson Montgomery playing third base in the Arizona Fall League, insisting he is a shortstop, does it matter to you if he does get a look or a cameo next spring for the White Sox, what position he plays?
No, I don't really. I mean, unless he's incapable of playing shortstop, unless they determine that that's not his position. If they want to move him to a position, whether he likes it or not, here you go. I mean, look, I'm being honest about this. They have a real lack of talent. They had last year, they had guys that didn't belong in the major leagues on the roster and playing fairly regularly. You would hope that they address that.
Mm-hmm.
You would hope that they're able to sign some players, to make some trades, whatever it is they have to do, and that they bring in guys, prospects. I'm tired of prospects. I want to see people that can play, and I want to see them play.
But that's not really what you're going to see, Mully. You're going to see prospects.
I know I'm not.
I know you're tired of prospects, but you got to have some patience here, because that's what all they're going to be spotlighting highlighting over the next couple years.
Is Edward Cuero, is he a guy that has the ability to come up and make an impact of any kind? I mean, the problem
he
with...
He better be. They're talking a lot about him in the last couple years.
He's one of the few
last
guys.
Last 2 years.
He's one of the guys that they feel... You know, here's the thing.
Okay.
So they got a bunch of young pitchers, right? But I think that, you know, we need to know who's MLB ready. I think we got a pretty good feel for some of them, but you know, Noah Schultz is 21. Is that too early? Hagen Smith is 21.
What's too early?
Is that too early?
What's too early?
To tell be me. In the major leagues.
I know, but tell me what too early is, because I don't think that's too young. Not if you're doing what they're doing, I mean, or what they're trying to do.
Yeah, especially when you think that maybe there was a guy in Juan Soto who was, 19?
Exactly.
When he was up and doing
now,
great
I think
things.
It's dangerous.
Now, I don't know how hard it is to
it's
to
dangerous
do that.
To start comparing all your prospects to Juan Soto, but you know
no,
that.
No, I know, and understand what I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, they've got... You know, there are a lot of highly ranked prospects that are 24 years old. Mm-hmm. Is Kai Bush going to get his chance this year? Is are we expecting anything from Mason Adams? These are guys that are highly thought of, and they're, you know, Nick Nastrini was up here last year. Is he ready to go? I don't
Nick
know the
Nastrini,
answer to that.
You want to give him a chance to earn a spot because of you went through that last year. I look at the, and I say stockpiled at third base. Mentioned Ramos, mentioned Vargas. Mm-hmm. Remember when they drafted Wes Kath? Wasn't that somebody who is going to be in the infield mix at some point in time? I don't know.
I think it might be early for him.
Okay.
I don't think that he's part of it. But I do think that, you know, just in terms of position players, you know, Montgomery at 22 and Cuero at 21. And, you know, I mean, George Walklow is, they're waiting on this guy. He's 18 years old.
You mean young Tommy?
I'm just saying, he's a child.
Yes, he is.
And he's got grown man strength.
He's not ready, though.
No, he's not.
Let me ask you this question, though, more pertinent before we lapse into White Sox Weekly.
Yeah.
I think that when you talk about prospects, you know, you got to be patient. So this offseason,
yes,
you can't do anything about seeing them develop in this offseason, then, which is a bigger question mark for you, the Sox fan. What kind of manager Will Venable will be, or whether or not they trade Garrett Crochet?
Well, I think they're going to trade Garrett Crochet. I don't think that's
it's
up
not
for
if, it's
argument.
When.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a lot like what happened last year.
But let's face it, you want to make
Bill
sure.
And Cease.
Yeah, but you.
It's a lot like last year.
You want to get a lot for Garrett Crochet. You can't just trade him because you're hell-bent on trading him. You got to make sure you get enough in return to make
David,
it worth your while.
David, I mean, like, you know, how did Chris Getz feel when he watched one of his pitchers in the World Series, right? I mean, because it kind of drove me a little bit crazy. I just wonder what he thought
of
it.
I don't know why you keep bringing up Kopech.
I'm not always bringing
you
it up.
You're always bringing
I'm
up just, Kopech.
I'm saying that they didn't get proper return on that trade.
They traded
Kopech, and they traded
Eric Fetty,
and they traded Tommy Pham, and they got three minor league prospects, one of who had, I think, a broken arm or leg or something, one of who couldn't play.
Pre-injured.
Vargas couldn't play, and I don't
but
know
he was
about
healthy.
The other. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He was unfortunately healthy enough to show he couldn't play.
He was healthy.
And I don't know, you know, I mean, Benintendi is still there. Can he play?
Does he have trade value? He finished strong.
I doubt it. The contract
he finished strong.
He's on. It's the richest contract.
But he doesn't have much left on the contract, does he?
There's more than you think.
Okay.
He's harder to trade than you think.
So Crochet's got to go?
No, I didn't say he has to go. I said I think they're going to trade him. I'm trying not to hang on to things that I want to do and try to understand what they're after.
Well, I think we'll get a sense of that.
They need to get position players, and I don't know how they're going to get them.
Well, I think Chris Getz, after he explains and introduces his new manager, Will Venable, the next question is at next week's general manager's meetings, the GM meetings are next week in Scottsdale.
Oh, yeah.
Are you making the deals? Are you laying the groundwork for deals? When is this going to happen? I think Chris Sale was traded in December of 2016.
Yeah.
Maybe earlier than that. But November, you can make deals.
When was Cease traded? It was the start of the season. Yeah. Right?
See, I hope it doesn't. I hope it doesn't go through that. Dylan Cease was traded when the season started. Remember, he had to get on a plane and go to South Korea to meet up with the Padres.
That's right.
So they were already starting the season without him. So we went through spring training with the charade of, will they or won't they?
Yeah.
What would Dylan Cease
and that's
do?
Why I'm saying I don't believe there is that charade this year. I think they're going to trade him. What can they get?
I think
from
I'm going to hate that day. I think I'm going to hate that trade.
Yeah, I think that I'm hoping that after what happened last year, that maybe Baltimore wants them.
They didn't want to cough last year at the trade deadline.
You talk about a team that needs
maybe they need
to do something
now.
To change. We talk about the Cubs because we talk about them every day. They're in Chicago. We're the flagship station. The Cubs need to do something. But the Baltimore Orioles, after the season they had and the disappointing way that it ended, you've got to be aggressive. And if you're aggressive, you're right. Garrett Crochet's somebody that you could target. And they have the talent in their system, position player talent, that you need from a White Sox organization perspective to start the rebuild, to start identifying your next core. Because I think that you look at this batch of prospects, and it's all about pitching. You need some position players.
Yeah, they got to get some position players. It's as simple as that. And I guess they will get to that. We'll find out about it, whatever.
Don't be that weather. No. Today's not a whatever day.
No, today is an introduction of the manager, and I'm going to give him that respect and listen to what he has to say, and I'll form my opinions and all the rest of it. But I'm not gonna basically, you know, Pedro the guy until I hear him talk, and you know, he's by all accounts a guy that was coveted by other teams, a guy that that has a lot of experience, not as a manager, but maybe he's ready to grow into that role and be a partner of Chris Getz, and maybe we'll find out more. But what I'm saying to you is that when I think about the White Sox and I think about next year, obviously they have to get better, and they can't be the worst team in baseball history. So what does that mean? We watch them go from a team that was a playoff team to a team that was 500 to a 100-loss team. And then we watch them go into a 121-loss team. So what does that mean? If they go back to a 100-loss team, does that then get them out of the hole? Are they?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. So I think we need to give them some time to get some more players and to answer a lot of these questions. But they would seem to need a lot. You know, just looking at who's there and who isn't there, I don't know what it is that you feel like you really have locked down and ready to go.
Young pitching, maybe. One more question. Who's his pitching coach? And does he look to the Rangers, his old team, to bring in a guy that would be very familiar, or at least the last name to many Cub fans? Mike Maddux is the pitching coach in Texas. And we know, as Dustin rolls his eyes, he's well highly respected. I wonder who his pitching coach is. Ethan Katz going to be somebody you just assume is coming back?
Well, I don't make any assumptions. I mean, I would hope this guy has his own staff in mind and a lot of – I mean, this is – the guy has interviewed for jobs before. He declined to interview a year ago. If I were in a position where I knew I was going to be a manager, whether it be last year, this year, next year, I would have a dream staff in mind.
Would you? Yeah.
Of course I would.
A veteran bench coach.
No question.
Chuck Garfine was on the Chicago Lead last night with us on the Chicago Sports Network. He had an interesting idea. Ex-Sox player joins Will Venable's staff. Former Cub third base coach, Willie Harris.
That's Dustin's dream. Dustin's dream is to have Willie Harris as the White Sox manager.
He's not going to be the manager. He would be maybe their third base coach.
But that was his dream.
I know it was.
It was his dream.
I think that's a little overstated. That's I suggested dream. That he should be a candidate.
You suggested you had a dream.
He checked the boxes that Getz laid out there.
He could also join the staff. I think having an ex-Sox player on the staff would be kind of fun.
You can join Dave Wannstedt with Mark Grody live at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo, Michigan for the Four Winds Football Forecast. That's on Monday, November 11th. The event is free to the public. It starts at 6:30 p.m. Central, 7:30 Eastern. Is that on the Eastern time zone? Maybe that's confusing.
Yes, they are.
Wani will be giving a mid-season review and forecast the rest of the season. Plus, you can get an autograph, and you get a photo with Coach Wannstedt. You can probably get Grody's autograph if you have his checkbook on you.
Yeah, exactly.
Before that Monday night game, that's November 11th at Four Winds Casino in New Buffalo.
As a Sox fan, does it matter to you if you have an ex-Sox player on that staff? Would you like to see that?
I got to be honest with you. One of the things I did really like about the White Sox, those many years, was the way they always kind of had guys that you watched as players that came up and were part of the organization. I'm going to be brutally honest about this. I'm kind of done with that now. I'm kind of done
with
it.
That's why I asked. That's
curious. It's been kind of ruined for me.
I get it.
When you hire old managers and you bring back people and your loyalty is more to the ex-player than to the fan base. So I'm going to say no.
Okay.
I'm going to just give you a declarative no to that.
I can respect
that.
Maybe
that's unfair.
No, it's not unfair.
You want to bring
it's
in
honest.
AJ? Bring in AJ.
Well,
that
I think it's fair. It's understandable. One of the things I do like about this hire, before we hear him say a word, is that Will Venable has no connection with the White Sox organization previously.
It's good.
This is not a crony hire.
You need outside.
Yep.
Yeah, you need fresh ideas and outside looks. And, hey, before Chicago takes on Arizona, tune in Sunday from noon to 3 for your local Ford dealers pregame show. It's right here on 670 The Score. It's presented by Aurelio's, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and I will even be there. We'll be at Wonderverse in Oak Brook, and we'll be getting you set up for the game. I believe Dustin will be at Wonderverse. If you want to come out, get a chance to meet Dustin, take a photo with him. He is anxious to sign autographs. Even if you come out and don't want his autograph, he will force one on you. That's our guy, Dustin. And then immediately following the game, we'll have instant reaction from Wonderverse on the Great Clips postgame show presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and Timber Tech Decking and Railing. All of that can be heard on The Score. And, of course, you've got the Odyssey app. And I'm told by the guys who were there already, that they have a 5-pound burger out there.
Well, that's
not a
something
quarter, not a burger.
You're going to have to split, right?
5 pounds.
You and Dustin are going to split a 5-pound burger?
Dustin will apparently
I'm very
be
jealous.
Digging
you guys, you have a
own.
Wonderful day at Wonderverse.
Yes. Thank you, Dustin. I look forward to getting an autograph from you, taking a photo.
You didn't really want to take a photo with me yesterday. You made that into something.
Really?
The group photos.
I didn't know that I had to take a photo with you, and I had to stand behind you.
You seem very surprised.
I loomed over you.
You seem very surprised. What are they using those pictures for anyway?
You,
I did not see
you
it.
You wouldn't move an inch, and he stood next to you, and the guy made me stand behind him.
What do you mean I wouldn't move an inch?
You wouldn't even. The guy's like, oh, we need to squeeze a little bit more. And you squeezed in instead of squeezing out.
I'm
so
sorry.
We could all fit into the photo.
Know. Okay.
But that's just me. What do I know?
We all smiled. One big happy
I also,
family.
I had like my tag on and I was told to take it off. I mean, I need this in the building.
Oh, I thought you meant your tag on your shirt because you have to take it back.
No. I was wearing Flag and Anthem as you're wearing today.
Very, very observant of you.
We've got, I believe we have Dan and Marshall Harris.
We do.
Love Marshall. We'll get a chance to talk to those guys next. It's not that I don't love Dan. I just love Marshall. Why can't I say that without you giving me a dirty look? Mully and Haw on The Score.